Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Hubler and Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
Hello, and this is, you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan, and I'm joined every week by the coach, Coach K, Ken Schultheis. Coach, NFL draft, NBA playoffs, Big Ten going to Washington, D.C. for some dumb reason for the Big Ten tournament, IHSA news, we've got it all, don't we?
Oh, it's a plethora, folks, on this Friday morning. If it's 10 o'clock on the East Coast, 9 o'clock Central. Over in Europe, I can't keep up with you. In the Middle Eastern part of the world, I can't keep up with that either, Joe. You'll have to do some kind of clock for the show. But, folks, there is a lot going on. Of course, if you are a Pacer fan, Joe, and we are, we're not going to lie, we're Pacer fans. We are just exhaling with a sigh of relief that our Pacers were able to get things going. Even in that last 9 minutes of that loss in Game 5, they won the next two. Come out in the second round against Washington, a lot of people, and I don't care what they say now, Joe, a lot of people after Game 1 of the Wizards and Pacers at Bankers Life absolutely were calling, saying this is going to be a Wizard sweep. Of course, Randy Whitman, the coach of the Washington Wizards, great player for IU, Indiana native. I certainly want him to be successful. I don't know why, but he let Dan Dockage sit close to the bench the other night. And folks, I like Dan Dockage. We go back a long ways, but since Dan has hit the ESPN big time, he's a little bit difficult to talk to at times. So that's why I bring that up. But the Pacers finally got that win in the series. There's not going to be a sweep by the Wizards. Roy Hibbert, Joe, Roy Hibbert comes out and does what everybody's been waiting for him to do.
He woke up, finally woke up. And if you look at the Coach K website, one of the slides that they go across is asking if Roy Hibbert woke up in time. Did he finally wake up? And it was good to see. I had to listen to it on the radio. I was in a car, but it was nice to see. And you know, one of my favorite parts of listening to the Pacers on the radio is when they hit a three, and our good friend Slick Leonard says, "Boom, baby!"
Yeah, and we tried to get Slick on the show this week. We were not successful at doing that, but we'll keep trying before it all comes to an end. But we are excited that Roy Hibbert has gotten out of his funk. Whatever things are going on, and we think we know that there could be some personal issues surrounding the team. But again, for whatever reason, it affected Roy in a way that is just shocking. And he must have hit the bottom of the roller coaster ride, and he's on his way back up. And you know what, folks? You know what, Pacer fans? It's just in time. Because to have a solid Roy Hibbert, even if it's just 10 points, 10 rebounds, and solid defense protecting the hoop when they take it to the rack, when they try to get to the circle, if he's there, it makes a huge difference. You only have to think back to the playoffs last year. We've got so much going on. At some point, Joe, and I told you before we went on the air, I've got Todd McShay and Mel Kiper's mock drafts right before the NFL draft started. We'll kind of do some comparison of where they were and who was actually drafted when. So that'll be interesting because, first of all, Mel Kiper has been scaring all of us for years with that funky, dark hairdo, and Todd McShay has come on the scene recently as a draft expert in the NFL. You know, Joe, these guys, they make a lot of money telling us who's going to be drafted when, so we're going to take a look at that. And of course, Joe, you brought up IHSAA. We're talking about some of the changes in the rules and some of the decisions they've made when it comes to the state playoffs. So a lot going on. And then at 10:30, for those of you listening, 10:30 Eastern, 9:30 Central, Who's Hot, Who's Not, our popular news segment with indie contributor Don Schulteis, Who's Hot, Who's Not. And, of course, we always have the lead-in with the great legendary song of Jerry Reed. Then in the second hour, Joe, we'll have Kurt Gooksell, correct?
Yes, we will. Gook will be on to sports director at DC Broadcast and be on to talk some high school sports, and I'm sure we'll delve into the college and pro as well. But tonight, weather permitting, the Southridge-Jasper game over at Huntingburg's League Stadium will happen tonight. Should be a good game, and we'll get a little preview of not only that game, but also maybe of the Southridge Raider baseball team.
Well, and whenever we have Kurt on, he's going to have some opinions on some other things. So I can't wait to hear what he says about the draft. I can't wait to hear what he says about the Cubs. I can't the Cubs. Oh, my, the Cubs. What can we say about the 12-21 Cubs? You look at a lot of the rest of the Major League Baseball, and there's a log jam here and there. Even your Yankees are right there, Joe. But the Cubs, still rebuilding. Hey, but Joe, let's do what we came to do to start the show. Last night, the NFL draft took place, and there was a lot of excitement.
Yes, there was. There was Johnny Manziel getting drafted.
Well, I thought
you
were going to cue that up.
Well, we are,
we've got to
be legal. We've got to state that this is courtesy of ESPN.
Johnny Manziel in the green room. Pick number 22 has been traded by Philadelphia to the Cleveland Browns. So the Browns are in the fourth. I mean, they're making more deals than Kevin Costner did as Sonny Weaver in the movie. They're all over the first round. Of course, they have the picks to move with. So by swapping spots in Philadelphia, Philly picks up
a third
round receiver too.
That's the other thing with this team. They got the corner, another major need. If you don't want the quarterback, Cora Manziel, you got Marquise Lee sitting right there for you.
I think they take Johnny. I do.
Derek Carr, Johnny Manziel. Remember, there are two quarterbacks. Brian Hoyer is coming off an injury.
They
and Alex Danny.
And Vince Young. Yeah.
I'd be shocked here if it isn't a quarterback.
Right.
I'd be shocked if it wasn't a wide receiver or a quarterback. So I'll put a wide receiver into the mix.
Crowd is yelling Johnny.
The Philadelphia Eagles have traded the 22nd pick to the Cleveland Browns. With the 22nd pick in the 2014 NFL Draft, the Cleveland Browns select Johnny Manziel, quarterback, Texas A&M.
Johnny?
Yeah,
you think the Cleveland Browns fans were a little excited there, Coach?
You know what's interesting, folks? If you didn't watch the draft, and I'll be surprised if you didn't, because viewership of the NFL Draft, listen to this, Joe. Viewership of the NFL draft was its highest ever, and it was a 48% increase over last year's draft in TV ratings. There was a lot of pomp and celebration going into this draft. I think everybody figured that Jadeveon Clowney was going somewhere up there at the top. But where was Johnny Manziel going to go? And it was riveting TV. Folks, you heard that crowd cheering as Joe played that ESPN clip. The whole Radio City Music Hall was cheering when Johnny Manziel's name was called. Cleveland was rocking, and isn't that appropriate because the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is there? But it was rocking in Cleveland. And guess what, folks? He was not even the number one pick. In fact, both Mel Kiper and Todd McShay had Manziel going 8. Kiper had him going 7th. John Gruden had him going in the top 3. And it was a free-for-all as the draft continued to go on. He wasn't picked until 22nd. And if you didn't watch the draft, Cleveland traded up with Philadelphia, the Eagles, to get that pick in order to get Johnny Manziel. I think Cleveland made a great choice. I think Johnny Manziel has the opportunity to play right away, although I don't think he should. But I think that he brings excitement, enthusiasm, and the most important thing when it comes to sports, he brings that place some hope. And only based on being Johnny Football and his name and what he did at Texas A&M, but he gives them hope. Here's a city that had LeBron James and lost him. They've got Kyrie Irving, though, and he's pretty good. But they have not done well in their drafts in football in this past decade. It just hasn't been very good. And probably we could go back a little bit further. But the Brian Sipe days, the Bernie Kosar days, they have been long gone in Cleveland, as well as many quarterbacks, many head coaches, many general managers. But this new ownership and his group seem to be putting their fingers in the right places to build a team, not just in getting Johnny Manziel. He was the icing that makes that cake taste a little better. But they've also piled up draft picks. They've got a lot of money. They've made some other good choices. And remember, this Cleveland Browns team was very, very much improved. But, Joe, isn't it interesting? And you're a football guy. I mean, for our listeners, Joe Milligan of the Coach K and Joe Show, he's a football guy. Whether he says it or not, he loves football. Football's a part of him. He played in high school. He's a pretty good player. Isn't it interesting that the 22nd pick in the draft can be the most important, at least from popularity-wise, last night? It was amazing.
It was amazing. But, you know, what I wondered, too, while I was watching, was like Marcus Smith out of Louisville, when he got picked by the Eagles, they booed his pick. Of course, that's Philadelphia, though, right? Booing, but it was kind of funny because you sit there and you hear that, and you know they're all fired up, and you gotta wonder, you're all excited to be a number one pick, but then you have the people that are in the Radio City Music Hall boo when you get picked, and I found that quite interesting, along with the Johnny Manziel. But you know, also one of my favorite picks of the first draft. Well, I have two favorites. I'm excited that the Bengals got Darqueze Dennard. I think they need a cornerback. But my favorite was, ha-ha, Clinton Dix. Ha-ha. Now, hopefully that's a nickname, isn't it?
You love it. So the pick was really, you love the pick, not because of the team you went to. You love it because of his nickname.
Oh yeah, the nickname was pretty funny. Ha ha! You know, I was like, okay, actually, when we were watching it, and I started laughing, and I said that Reese, my son, actually brought up the fact that that I've told him some of our friends' nicknames through the years, and he goes, well, no worse than some of your friends' nicknames. And I was like, oh, that's not real nice to say, but yeah, I guess so.
You know, anymore though. Anymore nicknames have a, you know, Johnny Football, ha-ha. There's just people connect with that, and I think that's important. You know, some of the other things, Joe, you talked about some of the picks that were cheered and maybe a couple that were booed. if we look at the winners as far as college conferences last night in the first round, the SEC again dominated. The SEC folks had 11 players picked. 11 players picked. Three of them from Texas A&M, and Joe and I talked before the show how Louisville and Texas A&M were the individual school winners with three, Teddy Bridgewater being picked late in the first round, but still he was picked. He was still picked in the first round. He was picked from by Minnesota, 32nd. So only two quarterbacks went in that first round. But let me finish my thought here. The Big Ten had four. Again, the SEC had 11. I think the Big 12 had a couple. The ACC had three, maybe. So the major conferences, as we hear them, they were the big winners again. They were the big winners again. Of course, Bortles did not play in a big conference. He went to the Jaguars as number three. The highest of the quarterback class, the highest of the quarterback class to be picked, and, of course, Manziel, I said two, but Manziel made it three. Manziel came in at 22nd. Joe, let's talk about the riveting part of this. You mentioned it just a minute ago. Here's a guy like Manziel, and everybody's saying, is he going one? Is he going three? Is he going five? Is he going seven? I never thought he was going one. I thought the Houston Texans would have been making the biggest draft mistake they could have made. Folks, settle down. I know they need a quarterback. I understand that. I get that. But they need some other things as well. And, you know, a lot of people give David Carr a lot of negative feedback and different things and in his time with the Texans. But, you know, they could have had a better offensive line. Their defense was solid up until last year. But getting back on track, the camera continued to focus in after every pick on Manziel. And you could just see the tension. You could see his facial expressions changing. It wasn't mad. It wasn't anger. It was worry. It was, you know how you're uncomfortable when things aren't going well for you? That's what it was. It was that uncomfortable feeling. His buddy became the bottled water. It was really interesting to watch him through all those picks. And then came Dallas, Joe. Then came the Dallas pick at 16, I believe. And Jerry Jones had made some comments that he really liked Manziel. And Manziel had said Jerry Jones and him and had got to develop a decent relationship. And a lot of people were saying, will Jerry Jones go for the show or will Jerry Jones go for the right pick? Because, hey, the Cowboys, one-time America's team, has a porous defense. They're like a sponge. And they could also use some offensive line help because Romo's had two back surgeries. How many more hits can the guy take? He is 34. But you know what, Joe? Jerry Jones shut his mouth, turned his business side off as far as the showmanship, and they made the right pick. They passed on Manziel. Did you think, Joe, they were going to take Manziel, or were you of the understanding that maybe the Cowboys had gotten it straightened out this time?
I think that they made the right choice for what they needed. You know, there is the popular pick. I mean, you know, when you've got that guy in state, I mean, I remember when Steve Alford was in the draft, Pacer, you know, everyone was like, the Pacers should take him. And sometimes you gotta think with your head, not with your heart. And I think they got that right. Now, another thing about another quarterback in the draft, I hated to read this, that Bartles would have liked to have went to Purdue, but they wanted him as a safety. Now, this is like deja vu because I know that Purdue wanted Jay Cutler real bad, and they wanted him only as a safety. So there's two times where Purdue, the cradle of quarterbacks, has kind of screwed things up here. Two great college quarterbacks, both first-round draft picks, and wanted them as free safety. So next time Purdue wants someone for free safety, they need to rethink it and let him be quarterback.
Somebody on the defensive side or offensive side of the ball, they were struggling with their evaluation of those guys, obviously. Bortles is a great story. He goes third in the draft, for those of you who didn't see it. He was, University of Central Florida is where he went?
Yeah, Central Florida.
Yeah, not even a major, what you would call a major big-time football school, but a good football, decent. It was decent. He goes third in the draft, and no one, unless Joe Milligan's draft, mock draft had it, no one saw Blake Bortles going to the Jacksonville Jaguars. In fact, Todd McShay had the Jacksonville Jaguars taken Mack, and so did Kuiper. None of them saw this coming. Nothing. I mean, I think it was a good pick, don't you? Now, the Jacksonville Jaguars president said today they do not want to play him next year. They want him to have a year to develop, to understand the offense, to get a good feel for things physically, mentally, emotionally. And their plan is, and folks, I say, dun-da-da-da, their plan is not to play him next year. But, Joe, we know how that works in the NFL.
Yeah, it always gets turned around, doesn't it? But, you know, one thing I thought about the other day, and I think that I would like to see us do a mock draft, and then also I'd like for us to predict the NCAA tournament and see just how far off we are. Maybe football we might be off, but especially NCAA tournament, I'd like for us, the Coach K and Joe Show, to come up with a weekly mock NCAA draw. What do you think about that?
If we do that kind of thing, we got to make sure we give our listeners an opportunity and create a bracket and a mock draft listing that they can put together and play along with us. But the mock drafts, I think, are really they're a lot of fun. This is probably the most involved in the NFL draft that I have been in years. I just thought it was interesting. First of all, for our listeners, I didn't think this was a great quarterback class. And I know some of you are saying, oh, duh, Coach K. Well, it wasn't. And that's why when people were saying Johnny Manziel going first, I laughed. Johnny Manziel going in the top five, I laughed. Johnny Manziel going in the top 10, there was no way. Now, Johnny Manziel, when they brought the top 30 potential draftees out, that was really a show. They have the red carpet. These guys are coming in a couple hours before. They bring out what they consider the top 32 to be drafted, or top 30, which, you know, if you're not among those 32 teams, if you're not one of those picks, it's kind of embarrassing. And I hate to say this for IU listeners, and Joe loves it, but Cody Latimer was among that group. Yes, the Indiana Hoosiers, who failed to qualify for a bowl last year and who Joe has mocked continuously. Coach Wilson, they had an offensive player. Cody Latimer was in New York City. He was a part of those top 30 potential draftees. He did not go in the first round. He did not go in the first round. But listening to the pundits and experts this morning, they do expect him to be going in this second round. They were surprised he didn't go. But he did not go, folks. He did not go in the first round. And you know what the first round means, folks? It means millions of dollars. Every one of these young men picked in the first round became a millionaire last night. Some more than others, but they will be millionaires. So The United States of America, through the NFL draft, created 32 millionaires last night. Jadeveon Clowney was number one. He is an athletic freak. This guy is big. He's strong. He's quick. There are questions about him, though. And I sure would like to find out from his college football coach at South Carolina, now that the draft is over, I'd like to be sitting there having a coffee or something with him and find out what he really thought about him. Because I'll tell you, this past season at South Carolina, he took a lot of plays off. Now, a lot of people are saying that he took these plays off, folks, because he wanted to make sure he didn't get hurt. He knew he was a first-round draft pick. He knew he had the opportunity to go number one, and he didn't want to mess that up, which really begs the discussion is, why didn't you go into the draft last year and just get it done if you weren't going to give it all you got this year? But Clowney went first to the Texans. And then St. Louis took Greg Robinson, an offensive tackle out of Auburn. Good move. St. Louis needs a lot of help. They're not ready to give up on Sam Bradford yet at QB. I don't blame him. He was a number one draft choice in 2010. I think he's a good quarterback. He needs help. That team is one of the youngest, if not the youngest, in the NFL. It needs help on both sides of the line. And I think St. Louis did that last night, and I think they'll do it again today because they've got a number of draft picks. Three we talked about was Bortles. He went 3-4 to Buffalo. Sammy Watkins, an outstanding big receiver. He's got all the makings of an all-pro. Buffalo picked him up. They've got a pretty good quarterback, they believe, second-year quarterback. We'll see what happens in Buffalo. And by the way, a shout-out to Jim Kelly. He's battling cancer. Jim Kelly, people all over the country are praying for you, one of the great all-time quarterbacks in the NFL, the Buffalo Bills, and before that, he was in the what was the name of that league he was in before that? But it's a pro league that they started
the
up.
The USFL.
Yeah, the USFL.
USFL.
Shout out. Yeah, shout out to Jim Kelly. You're going to beat that, buddy. You're going to beat that. He's a great example of why you shouldn't be chewing tobacco. That's where his cancer came from, oral cancer. Oakland picked Matt. Atlanta picked Jake Matthews, who had a dad who was a great all-pro. Tampa Bay picked Mike Evans. Mm-hmm. Cleveland, Justin Gilbert. Minnesota, Anthony Barr. And Detroit, Eric Ebron. I hope that works out for them. Let's talk about what McShay and Kuiper picked in that top 10 and compare it, folks, just quickly. Quickly, that top 10, and then we got to go to break, and we're going to who's hot and who's not. Todd McShay and Kuiper both had Clowney as the number one pick. Was he? Yes, he was. Then they had Robinson number two. Was he? Yes, he was. This is where it changed a little bit. They had Mac, both of them had Mac going at number three. It was Bortles. They had Bortles and Watkins going at number four. Kuiper had Watkins at number four, and Watkins went at number four. Number five pick was Mack, and they had Watkins and Matthews. Todd McShay had Watkins. Kuiper had Matthews. In the sixth pick, we had Matthews went, and Todd McShay had that right. And Kuiper had that right. They all had the sixth pick right. Number seven had Evans. McShay had it right. Kuiper had Manziel. The eighth pick was Gilbert. McShay had Manziel. Kuiper had Donald. The ninth pick was Anthony Barr. Neither had Barr. But I'll tell you what, when you look at their top 10 picks, they were pretty close. The only real one they didn't have right was Manziel. Joe, we got to go to break because who's hot, who's not's coming up. with indie contributor Don Schulteis. Hey, it's draft day on our show. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit IdeaFusionMedia.com. That's IdeaFusionMedia.com.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Toyota in Jasper. You know what happens when you sell a bunch of new Toyotas? You trade for hundreds of great pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and sport utilities. Many are certified, have factory warranty remaining, fully inspected, and they're all priced to sell. Hurry in for the best selection. Ubelar & Sons Toyota, where customers send their friends for a great pre-owned vehicle since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hi, this is Tyler Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
When you're hot, you're hot.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show with our ever popular Who's Hot and Who's Not segment. Don Schulteis, our indie contributor, coming in. Who's hot and who's not? Coach, before I get started on my list of hot and not, this gentleman didn't make my list but probably should have. But was I the only one that thought that John Gruden last night had to be on the payroll for the Johnny Manziel, Mr. Johnny Football staff? I mean, every time there was a draft pick coming up, he was saying how Johnny Manziel needed to be picked for one way or the other. If the team needed defense, if they needed a punt returner, if they needed an offense, an offensive lineman, he was always touting Johnny Manziel. Was that just me, or did I hear that?
No,
right? You did. Don, I was sitting there watching it with my 13-year-old son, Scotty, and we talked a couple of different times about how John Gruden, by the way, is an Indiana native of the state of Indiana, John Gruden, Super Bowl-winning coach. It looked like he was part of the PR firm for Johnny Manziel. It was almost hurting me. I was feeling bad for a while because he was pushing Manziel to be picked. I think he had talked at the beginning. He had him going in the top three. At one point, I thought Kuiper and Ray Lewis, I thought that John Gruden was almost getting that little 12-year-old bully face on that I used to wear and was ready to go to blows. Now, he was smart enough not to go to blows with Ray Lewis, though. But, Don, you're right on. You saw it all the way.
That's crazy.
Anyway, let's jump into the list because I have got, no pun intended, a very hot and not-so-hot list today. So number one on the hot side, Coach, we talked about it last week, but I think it deserves to be on the list again, and it's the Marion University cycling team. We talked about they were going for their fifth championship, and yes, they did win it. And do you understand that they have won 8 out of the last 10, and this is their 26th victory in the USA Cycling Collegiate Road National Championships? I mean, that's UCLA-esque, and whoever the coach is for that team has got to be compared to John Wooden. So these guys are definitely on the hot side this week. They are hot, and those tires are smoking. Now, to lead off my not-so-hot, I have to say, sorry, Joe, Ronnie Johnson, the former Purdue Boilermaker who shopped himself around, it seemed like forever, and wanted to take every free trip that he could to go visit schools, ends up committing to who? Kelvin Sampson at the University of Houston. Come on, Kelvin. Ronnie is quoted as saying, Kelvin Sampson, or Coach Sampson, is ready to get it rolling again at Houston. I just, rolling could be meaning a lot of different things, Coach. And for Ronnie Johnson, the ex-Boiler, and Kelvin Sampson, the new University of Houston coach, to me, they're not so hot. Don, I heard a lot of that recruiting took place on the cell phone. That's all I'll say on that. A lot of tech were involved in that. Anyway, back on the hot side, we would be remiss, Coach, if we didn't bring him back because we had pummeled him the last couple of weeks on the not-so-hot side, and that is one Roy Hibbert of the Indiana Pacers. He goes on Monday night in a Pacer defeat, 0 points, 0 rebounds, 0 blocks, to 28 points, 9 rebounds, 2 blocks in a big Pacer win on Wednesday night to even the series 1-1. Roy went fishing with his good friend, Paul George, earlier that day, and whatever they fished for, he caught a big one because those are great stats, and I'm hoping it's not just a one-and-done type of thing, but Roy Hibbert, he is hot.
Stay hot, Roy. Please stay hot.
Now, on the other side, you know, you brought up Cody Latimer as walking on the red carpet last night earlier in your comments, Coach, and hopefully he will go in the second round. But one of IU's great football stars, the IU all-time leader in receptions, James Hardy, who was drafted by Buffalo a few years back, was caught by the L.A. police this week in a little altercation that caused him to hurt 3 of those L.A. policemen and get tased and arrested. Coach, James Hardy this week is not hot.
Boy, if he'd have been hot, he could have said he's sizzling, shaking hot from that taser, but he's not. He's not. He's shaking, but it's being not hot, cold, frozen.
On the hot side, Coach, the NBA named its Rookie of the Year this year, and it wasn't Victor Oladipo. Sorry, IU fans. It was one Michael Carter Williams of the woeful Philadelphia 76ers. But Michael, he is hot. He is only the 3rd rookie since 1950-51 NBA season to lead all rookies in scoring with 16.7 for Michael Carter Williams. Rebounds, he averaged 6.3, and assists at 6.2. All 3 categories, the leader, only the 3rd rookie to ever do that. Michael Carter Williams, even though your team's not very hot, you are hot. All right, I don't know if you're going to agree with me on this one, but the Indiana Basketball Coaches Association presented a revised Indiana High School basketball tournament plan to the IHSAA board this week. And I have to tell you, Coach, it calls for, shrinking 4 classes to 3, but they want to divide up in divisions. They want to create 80 sectional winners, bring back the divisions at the regional round. And I tell you what, to me, keep it simple, IBCA. And as a result of this complicated, no wonder the IHSAA had to table this and study it further, because it couldn't be understood in one single presentation. So for me, the IBA, IBCA presenting this complicated plan is not hot. You know, Don, I will agree with you. It has a lot of moving pieces in it, and the confusion, I think, caused the IHSA to table it because there's just not a clear understanding or what some have called fair equity within the process. So I agree with you, Don. That proposal, it's not hot. All right, on the other side, on the hot side, one Richard Sherman, the cornerback, the famous cornerback that led the Seahawks, one of the leaders of the Seahawks to the Super Bowl last year. He was a fifth-round draft choice, Coach, and he's been shining the last couple of years for Seattle. He signed a huge four-year, $57.4 million contract this week, and he gets $40 million guaranteed. That's $40 million. If he gets cut or gets hurt, he's still got $40 million. So I tell you what, Richard Sherman, you are hot. That is so hot. I saw that $40 million guarantee. I thought he can buy a lot of Starbucks coffee up in that area, a lot of Seattle's Best coffee. I mean, this guy, the thing about NFL, Don, and you're bringing it up right here, you get big contracts, but a lot of it's not guaranteed. Richard Sherman, fifth-round pick, he's guaranteed, baby, $40 million. He is hot. Now, not so hot, one Mr. Jim Delaney, who's trying to create, I don't know what he's trying to create, the biggest and best conference ever with money and this and that. But him and his Big Ten conference decided to move the basketball tournament for the guys in 2017 to where? Not Michigan, not Minnesota, not Chicago, not Iowa, to Washington, D.C. I don't know, but to me, I don't know what they're thinking, and I do not agree. I know they want to make the Big Ten footprint bigger and appease Rutgers and Maryland. I'm not quite sure why you would appease them. They haven't even gotten into the conference yet. But Jim Delaney and your decision to move this tournament from rotating either between Indianapolis and Chicago and just taking it out of the central part of your conference, you are not hot. Yeah, and we're going to be talking about that after this segment. Why the Big Ten move? I'm not happy about it either. He's not hot. In fact, he's going to get hot because we might just pour something on him and light him a fire. Keep on going, Don. All right, I got another real hot guy for you. His name is another Roy Mayweather. Defends his WBA/WBC welterweight title at the age of 37 years, Coach. I mean, he is 46-0, and he has met, as a result of that win, he is, they're estimating, going to take $70 million from just that one bout. He's the highest paid sports figure in the world right now, and he is red hot. For a sport that has been on the decline for several years, I'd say he's smoking. All right, I got a little politics here on the not-so-hot side, so I'm going to throw this out. The Nigerian terrorist group, we've all heard about it, Boko Haram, kidnapping hundreds of young schoolgirls in Nigeria and then taunting the rest of the world that they're going to sell these girls into captivity and that kind of thing. I know it's a political thing. I know it has nothing to do with sports. But I'll tell you what, Boko Haram, I hope you get yours, and you are not hot. No, they're not hot, and it's sickening
that they are even in this position to do this. And as the rest of the world is calling on social media, the Coach K and Joe Show, and who's hot and who's not, a segment with Don Schultheis is no different. Bring back our girls. You've got no business. You are the lowest of low, the coldest of cold, the evil of evil. Bring back the girls. All right, Coach, the last two. I'm gonna continue on the political front with the hot side, and then I'll have one last not so hot. But earlier in the week, the Supreme Court upholds prayer in municipality meetings, and I know that's a controversial subject, but they went on to say that it's part of our tradition in this country to start things with a prayer, and they were not overturning the 1984 rule. And so Supreme Court, at least in my opinion, and it's my list, you are hot. Hey, I'm with you, Don. I'm with you. Everything you do should start with prayer. And this isn't about multicultural groups and different religions and all this other stuff. All those people are, everybody in the United States of America, and some places are a little tougher than others. I get that. There still is the racist piece to things, but tolerant Americans, there are a lot of them. And this isn't about someone being Hindu or Muslim or Jewish or not. You know, Christians have the right, too, to express themselves. And prayer, regardless, should be upheld. Thank you, Supreme Court. All right, my final here is a little bit comical. And there's a couple of people that I consider not to be too hot here. But did you hear earlier in the week that ex-head men's basketball coach at Oregon State, Craig Robinson, who was 94 and 105 in six seasons as the head coach at Oregon State, was fired, and he had no NCAA appearances. But what's really interesting is that it's Barack Obama's brother-in-law. So Oregon State president, athletic director, you fired the president's brother-in-law? I'd say you're not very hot. And get ready, because there's going to be a lot of agencies knocking on your door to do a little investigation and check compliance and check on the taxes and et cetera. Whatever you do, you don't. Fire the president's brother-in-law. Anyway,
IRS,
they are rock EPA. IRS, EPA, federal funds for education being taken in a different direction, minority statuses, everything. But you know what? Coach Robinson, they'll not be four more years for you. So that's all I got, Coach. For the hot and not so hot list. Quickly before you go, Roy Hibbert, I mean, the fact that the Pacers got the win, moved on to this next round against the Wizards, the fact that Dan Dockett said he thought the Pacers would be swept in four, I love that it didn't happen. The fact that Roy Hibbert come out of his slumber, I still think the Pacers have a tough hill to climb. I think that the Wizards are very athletic, very quick, good shooting team. What do you think, Don? I think the Pacers can win this round, but I do think that this is a Wizards team that believes in themselves and maybe a little bit more skilled than what people thought they were early in the season. I totally agree with that. I think the guard play for the Wizards is at the highest level that they've had of Beal and Wall together this year, and I think that really gives us problems. Although George Hill did play really well the other night, and he was attacking the basket and creating things. And, you know, I think that the Pacers can win this,
And but it's gonna be a slugfest, and I think they're really gonna have to rely on their experience and trying to get the edge that way. The one thing that the Pacers still have that the Wizards don't have is experience in the playoffs. And if we can use that to our advantage, I think we've got a good shot. Anytime you lose your home court, which we did Monday night, which is just, it just sickens me for us to go into these early rounds of these playoffs, and then you lose your first game at home when you, when you've got that advantage, then all of a sudden it's neutralized. So we got a tough road, but I still believe that the Pacers are going to get this round.
Well, and it is the second round that the Pacers have lost the home court advantage. They can get it back, but it would have been nice to just keep it from the outgo. Don, the other thing that worries me about the Pacers, they have proven time and time again in this last month and a half to be a very poor perimeter passing team. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I coached a lot of years in basketball. I still work with kids, high school age and down. This is elementary passing. These are bad passes. These are long passes from one side of the key area to the other that you don't make even on the elementary area. It's elementary level. These are bounce passes, are not bounce passes when they should be. They're over-the-head passes that aren't up high enough. Don, how does a pro team who won as many games as they did be such a poor perimeter passing team at this stage of the season?
That boggles my mind, Coach. And I was telling my son the other night watching this game, at this level you would think that none of these guys would be floating. I call it floating passes, you know, just those soft little floaters. And the Pacers do it. And Beal and Wall and, you know, the athletes that you oppose, they are lightning quick, and they grab those in an instant. And it is beyond me that the Pacers are that bad at passing the ball around the perimeter. Now, I will say the other night we did do a much better job sharing the ball overall, because Monday night it looked like Lance Stephenson and basketball were joined, because he just kept dribbling. And at least we got the ball moving a little bit, particularly, you know, in and out and attacking the rim and then hitting Hibbert and some of the other guys underneath, which I think always is a good thing for basketball and winning basketball.
Yeah, the passing has just been bad. I hope it continues to get better. I mean, they don't know how to pass through a double team. They try to pass over it instead of pass faking and going around or cutting, splitting the double team. It's interesting. Don, before we let you go and go to this next break, we share a common celebration today. Today our mother would have turned 80 years old, Roseanne Schmidt-Schultheis. 9 kids, 28 grandchildren. She's been gone from this earth for the last 12 years. But we do celebrate her big 8-0 today.
Yeah, I tell you, I woke up and looked at the date and saw that it was May 9th, and it did hit me and brought back a flood of memories. And she was tough at times, as you might attest to, Coach K, but she was a good mom and set the bar high for all of us and put us in our place most of the time. So rest in peace, Mom. We all love you.
Absolutely. She could. One thing that I commented on my Facebook site today was she had the ability to hold things together, to keep the group together. She didn't always have to say something to us. It was only the expectation that all 9 of her children understood. We needed to be at this Christmas. We needed to be at this Easter. We needed to be at this birthday event. And it might be the expectation or just that look she could give. But 9 children, 28 grandchildren, started her own business from the ground up, a coach's wife, as my dad was a coach, she, whatever shortcomings she had, they might have come from all the big things that she was able to get done. Mom, we love you, and we're going to go to break. When we come back, Andy Eigel, former coach at Eastern Green, contributor to the show. He's got HBCA Direct. Talk a little bit about that tabled IBCA, IHSAA tournament change, a couple other things with basketball. I'm sure he'll be coaching again. I'll probably ask him about that, but he won't answer. We're going to break. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Have you ever heard a car ad that looks too good to be true or has fast-talking fine print?
Buy before midnight tonight. Maybe okay, maybe not. You probably aren't eligible for this event. Ubelar's prices are better, but you can't know that.
You want to hear Ubelar's fine print? That's right, silence. Our prices will save you money, huge inventory, even bigger discounts. Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Have you ever heard a car ad that looks too good to be true or has fast-talking fine print?
Buy before midnight tonight. Maybe okay, maybe not. You probably aren't eligible for this event. Ubelar's prices are better, but you can't know that.
You want to hear Ubelar's fine print? That's right, silence. Our prices will save you money, huge inventory, even bigger discounts. Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Friday edition. You guessed it, Coach K and Joe Show. You are talking with the coach. Our next guest, he's a contributor to the show. It's not the number one pick of the NFL draft last night, Jadeveon Clowney. We bumped him. We bumped Jadeveon Clowney for our next guest. Jadeveon was on the phone. We told him, hey, go back to bed. We'll have to talk to you some other time. We've got a bigger guest. He's HBCA director, former Eastern Green basketball coach, Andy Eigel. We're bringing him on the show. Andy, great to have you.
Well, we're always excited to talk hoops, especially in the springtime.
Well, it's the Coach K and Joe Show, and we're going to talk some hoop. Of course, Coach Eigel and I go back many, many years, back to 1985, in fact, when I started coaching at Washington Catholic, and I tabbed a young Andy Eigel. Of course, I think he was a year older than I was, or 2 years older than I was at the time. I was 22. I tabbed a young Andy Eigel to be my assistant coach, and we've had a great friendship, professional or not, great friendship ever since. Andy, you are currently the HBCA director, as well as the dean of students at Eastern Green, but the HBCA director. And for those listening outside of Southern Indiana or the state of Indiana, I know we have plenty of you that's the Hoosier Basketball Coaches Association. It was created several years back to highlight the schools, the teams, the players, the coaches going on in the southern part of Indiana, basically Bloomington on down. Coach, a couple weeks ago, you had the Hoosier Basketball Coaches Association Senior All-Star Game at Tecumseh High School in Linville, Indiana. A couple minutes, talk about the HBCA, and then I want to talk a little bit about the tabled resolution or proposal for changing the class basketball system. But talk to us a little bit about the All-Star Game, Senior All-Star Game at Tecumseh High School.
Well, first of all, the HBCA, which was created by Coach Jack Butcher from Ligoti, he started the organization because he felt like kids south of Indianapolis were not getting the recognition that they deserved and some all-star slights such. But he felt like this organization was needed to give players the chance to be showcase their skills, coaches a chance to get some recognition that they weren't getting, and also to give scholarships out to kids that met the requirements for the group. And actually, our organization goes up to Indiana 40 South, so all the way up near the Putnam County line, all the way over to just south of Richmond. And the organization has really become very big and offered a lot of opportunities. And this past Sunday, we held our All-Star game at Tecumseh, our East-West game. It was another great showcase. A lot of really good talent. A couple low D1 kids were playing there, and then several D2s and D3 kids were also involved. And just a great afternoon of basketball, boys and girls, and some college coaches there, just really doing some good things for Southern Indiana basketball.
I know that one of the coaches we've had on our show several times, Matt Sisley from Heritage Hills, and one of his very important seniors who will be playing at Huntington College, Devin Murder, played in that, and Matt coached one of the teams in there.
Yes, if you receive one of our four district coaches of the year, that gives you a chance to do two things. One, speak at our yearly clinic, which has now been moved to Bloomington, Indiana, for a Friday-Saturday deal. Bloomington South holds the Saturday afternoon deal, and then we have the other at the Holiday Inn Express, Bloomington. And then it also gives you a chance to coach in the All-Star game. So it's two really good honors. We present a plaque to the coach. We're going to go back to something we used to do before, and that was go to the home school and make that presentation in front of their home crowd. But, again, these are guys that might get slighted by the Indiana Basketball Association. I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, there's just a lot of good coaching individual jobs where guys do great jobs, but obviously we can't honor them all. So it just gives us a chance to honor a couple more guys who really put in a good year with their team.
Well, you know, I think that it has been good for all those schools, because right now, because of the size of schools in Indianapolis and some of the bigger areas, especially Indianapolis North, that's where a lot of the focus goes. We, you know, we have Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star on frequently, and we talk a lot with some of our contributors. Don Schulteis talks Indy High School basketball. So a lot of focus comes out of there. And again, we're not in any way putting that down, because they're great players, great coaches, great teams up in that area. But there's a lot of good basketball played throughout the state, and especially from 40 on down. And as you say, this was a great opportunity to showcase some of that talent, get some of those coaches out there. You also honored some coaches or some contributors to the HBCA. You want to take a minute and mention those, and then we'll talk a little bit about the IHSAA.
Well, you know, our group this past weekend, or 2 years ago, we started a Hall of Recognition where we honored some people that were on the foundation of the HBCA. And the first group was highlighted with Coach Butcher and Coach Maxstein and Coach Schaefer from South Knox and Farrell Armstrong, who was a real advocate part of it, Larry Martin from North Harrison, and just a really good group of guys that we brought in. And then we, this second year, we added three more guys. Dave Worland, that both of us are very familiar with from Washington Catholic and now at Indianapolis Cathedral as a principal. And then John Church, who of Northeast Dubois, is also at Clay City. And then Coach Steve Brett, another guy that everybody in Southern Indiana is familiar with. But, you know, we're just hoping to keep those honors coming for the coaches who've done a great job and have made a commitment. And, you know, you look at the All-Star team, and it just seems that, you know, south of I-40, there's just not a lot of good, or they're not being recognized for their good play. And, you know, I'll use an Evansville kid, Ernie Duncan, that I thought could have been on that team. But, you know, it's a very difficult job. So what we're hoping to do with this thing is honor those kids that maybe got slighted and give them a chance to get some recognition that they truly deserve.
Well, I know that I know the process of the All-Star team. It's a difficult one. Selection is tough. They try to put a team together that can win the Kentucky series. It doesn't have the celebration it once had between the two states, but it's still important. It still is a great feather in the cap of a player if they get chosen or a coach if they get selected. I was fortunate to have four former players be Indiana All-Stars. I got to play with an Indiana All-Star, but I know from my time coaching Andy, I know exactly what you're talking about. I had to work my butt off to get my kids recognized, making trips to Indianapolis several times during the state tournament, showing up in odd places, in odd spots in the gym, just to make sure they knew about my players down at Jasper. And, of course, I didn't have him 4 years, but Toby Madison at Washington Catholic also became an Indiana All-Star. So it's a great group that was put together. Jack Butcher, of course, a dean among victories. Like you mentioned, John Church was honored. He was at DuBois. Great run to the semi-state. We had one of his former players on a month or so ago. He went to Madison, then to Clay City. He lost his son recently, tragically, and Coach Church, he knows, always been somebody I looked up to. Coach Whirlin, of course, I followed him at Washington Catholic. He did a great job. East Central, I believe. Was it East Central he went to?
South Dearborn.
Yeah, South Dearborn, and then Lafayette Central Catholic before taking the administrative role. So a lot of good people, and of course yourself, Andy. Andy, let's talk about the HSAA. The IBCA and coaches put together a proposal to change the format of the boys state tournament. And they were going to go from four classes to three. I think it's ridiculous, but it is trying to pare it back and create more, I think, regional rivalries tournament-wise, which needs to be done geographically. I talked to a couple people on the board when I was at the state finals following my son as an assistant coach with Barry. A lot of them were more apt to vote positive or yes than no, as they had been in the past, but they were still weren't ready to vote yes because they thought there were too many equity issues sitting out there and maybe too many different things that had to come together to get to the part of the tournament and the regional rounds and so on. Your thoughts on the tabling of the proposal and your just thoughts in general?
Well, I think the tabling is definitely a great idea because there's a lot of uncertainties in this proposal. The proposal itself, I'm like you, I don't see the benefits, okay? What people need to realize is everybody's concerned because attendance is down at the tournament and maybe the interest isn't there, but that was starting to happen at the end of one-class system. I'm a one-class guy, and yet I was at a school that had never won a sectional. We won five under the class system, so it was obviously very good to me and Eastern Green, but I think you keep messing with this tournament, and it's not probably going to help attendance because the bottom line, Coach, is people don't go to high school basketball like they used to. There are still pockets in this state where it's highly attended, and I think southwestern Indiana is one of those. But I think overall, generally, people don't attend games as much. And I think that's what everybody's searching for, to increase the interest, the attendance. And I'm not sure this three-class thing, though it has some warrant, is the answer to our problems.
Well, the merit in this three-class proposal, I understand it as well. I'm like you. I've just seen a general layout of it, outline of it. I will still go back to what I firmly believe. I firmly believe the key to the tournament attendance is to create tournament sites that have geographical connections. Because when the tournament is rolling, you come out of your sectional, and Andy, you remember this well, and you come out of your sectional, and you're mad because you lost,
But the team that comes out is your sectional representative. And you were all fairly close in geography, so this was a traditional thing. So many of the fans, if you could get a ticket to the regional round, would continue to follow their sectional winner. So you had your four winners, but you had a number of people from the sectionals, a pretty large number of people from the sectionals, that continued to follow the winners through that. And then the regional had the same geographical connection into the semi-state and then to the state finals. When I was on the IBCA board, and this whole class thing was starting to come up, Gene Cato was moving out of the spot, and it was clear that the guy who was going to follow him was going to give in to the small school push. It was clear that we were going to have problems. So we had even put out there, okay, have your class sectionals and then feed them into a regional, to one class, to the semi-state, the state, and have one winner to keep the continuity of the tradition of the tournament there, because it was a generational thing that you headed to Indianapolis, whether your team was in it or not, but you headed to Indianapolis to go to the state finals. And I know that we weren't going to fill Lucas Oil Stadium anymore like they used to fill the old football stadium, but we're not even filling, when they take total attendance, we're not even filling Bankers Life a lot of times. So that is unheard of. It was unheard of when it was at Market Square, 17,000 people. You still were trying to get a ticket. I don't know what the answer is. I get the people getting to win some sectionals with the smaller schools. I still don't know why. And I know that it keeps the smaller school from being a state champion every year to have one. I still don't know why they can't funnel these sectional sites into the regionals, the semi-states, and the state to have one state champion. I don't know why, other than principals of the small schools are more dominant in the decision-making, and they're not going to give it up, Andy.
No, they're not. And the ones that have achieved that success will stand before you or talk on your show or whatever, and they'll tell you there was nothing like it. And I can tell you this. When we won our first one in 01, it was something that I'll never, ever forget, because people went crazy. They went absolutely nuts. But the problem was we were going to Bedford and trying to knock heads with Bloomington South, Bloomington North, Bedford, and those schools every year, and it was going to be very difficult for us. But some adjustments could have been made where we could have kept the old system. And I'm like you, I'd be for class sectionals, feeding everybody into regionals and play one class the rest of the way out.
Yeah, I really don't know why we couldn't get any tread back then. And maybe no one's pushing that idea now, but I know we have a good friend from South Knox, Superintendent Tim Grove, and hopefully we'll have him. He's now the new executive chairman of the board. And Dave Worland's president. I just like to find out why a class sectional format couldn't work feeding into a one-class regional, semi-state, and state championship, because the sectional championship really is so big in the communities. And geographically, you can pull those sites together. And folks, this is the truth. If you want to talk about great-grandfather to grandfather to father to son, it happens in the sectional level. A tradition is created, and it happens at the sectional level. Southridge, Forest Park, Jasper, Dubois, whatever that might be. Bloomfield, Eastern, whatever that might be. Far East, Lagodi, North Davies, Washington Catholic. Just talking about sites in the southern part of the state. But my point is that you get the joy of the sectional champion, and then if you've got that team, you might pull that regional off as well, and who knows where you go from there. Because right now, what I'm hearing, Andy, Coach, what I'm hearing is, well, we can't win a state championship because these charter schools are in it. We can't win a state championship because these Catholic schools that recruit are in it. So, you know, with vouchers, that has created the smaller Catholic and private schools, given them an advantage. And listen, when I was at the executive director at Memorial High School, I pushed hard for those vouchers, not for athletic purposes, because I wanted to break the education professional families who struggled in their school systems to get to an environment, because of the environment, to get to an environment in the larger cities, the more urban areas, the opportunity to break that cycle of education, to get those students who want to learn and want a good environment, who feel like they can succeed, and their parents who could never afford that, to have that opportunity. Having said that, I didn't want what's happening, and it is happening, and the legislature needs to take some steps because they're putting the IHSA in a no-win situation. But Andy, is there any possibility that they would communicate a class sectional and then just move into a one class tournament after that, or is that just something that's never discussed anymore?
Yes, it is. When the IBCA put out their questionnaire looking at these different options, that was one of the options. But for some reason, it did not take much ground in being passed like the three class was. So what they tried to do, they tried to get something that would work for the coaches and also be appeasing to the IHSAA. So that's what brought us to where we are right now. So there are several compromises out there like that. Andy Graham of the Herald Times has one like that. Hickory Husker, a popular coaching website, has one. And there's a lot of things out there, but for some reason it's not gaining ground.
Well, I know back in 94-95 when I was on that IBCA board, that was the first thing that came out of my mouth. If this dam's going to break, then let's go. Let's give the sectional round and then feed everybody in, because I'm a big believer in this. Once you lose a generation, it's tough to get them back. Once you lose two, I don't know if you can ever get them back. So I've been around the state the last couple years. I still see some good crowds. Even went up to a couple Indianapolis Cathedral ball games against public Indianapolis schools, and there were good crowds at the regular season games. But to really recreate that tournament-type atmosphere and pull those people back in generationally, I think you got to have geographical connection. And when you've got teams driving 2.5 hours to play in a regional, you're not going to get those geographical connections. It's just not going to happen. Coach, I want to move to some other things. I think one of the changes the IHSA made is now officially basketball teams can play 22 regular season games officially now?
Yes, that was one that will go into effect the 14-15 season, the upcoming season.
Now, do you like that, or does this create the kids are out missing out on possibly holiday breaks? Coaches who already put in an enormous amount of time, we're just adding, or do you just see more of this, okay, we're going to go back to more Friday, Saturday games?
I see it as a problem that we've all complained about as coaches, kids playing more games than they need to in the summer, and now you're adding two more games and taking away valuable practice time to make your team better. So I wasn't for this. I don't believe it helps programs. I think it's another way to create revenue, which is good for these small athletic departments, but I was against the move.
Yeah, and I question how some of those. I know a lot of people have gone to these Christmas tournaments and things like that, and I got to tell you, I see that Christmas time, that break period in there.
Yeah,
I think that's important for kids and families and coaching staffs and to be able to walk away. But you're not getting that anymore. They've gotten corporate sponsors to put them on, and now you're. You might celebrate Christmas, you might not. Kids can't travel to see family like they could before. I understand playing games are exciting the day of the game,
but it's the process leading up to them and what you miss in between them that becomes a problem. I still think family's critical. I still think holidays are times for families to be together, and you know, coaches have families too.
Absolutely, and I agree 100% with you on that. I'm not for playing in holiday tournaments. Coach Rady once told me, Matt Rady, who's now at Cloverdale, longtime Terre Haute South coach, he said, you know what, that time was the time to get away from it for 4 or 5 days and then evaluate your team and start the second half working on your weaknesses during that break time and let your kids celebrate the holidays with their families and really get them to realize what's truly important.
Coach, great having you. Friend for life. Seasons change, but our friendship never does. And I know you're going to be on those sidelines sooner or later somewhere. I won't get into where it could be. I'm not going to talk about that. Not going to put you on a spot. But whatever you're looking at, good luck. That school, other than having me, couldn't have a better guy.
Well, thanks, Coach. It's always a pleasure.
Love it.
Always
hey,
a
actually,
pleasure.
Have a good week. Have a good weekend,
okay.
Coach Eichel.
We'll talk to you later. See ya.
Hey, we're going to go to break. We didn't solve anything with the IHSA, but we certainly brought some things out, and we will go to bring one of the executive committee people on at some point, maybe next week, folks. So if you're into high school sports, we'll get one of them on, and it's not just basketball, girls sports, all sports. So we'll get them on. We'll talk to them. I like talking to these guys, finding out what they're thinking, because high school sports has a lot of pressure on it because of what's going on the college level. Hey, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll see what Joe's got going. Kurt Guxo is going to join us as well. You're listening, and you should be, to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac, Toyota Scion in Jasper. We've all heard the commercial, 15 minutes could save you 15. Folks, let me tell you, it won't take 15 minutes for us to save you money. Give Ubelar's a call at 1-800-937-USA1 or visit us online at ubelar.com. We'll tell you the facts, treat you right, no bait and switch, and best of all, we will save you money. Ubelar Chevy Cadillac, Toyota Scion in Jasper, where customers send their friends for a lifetime of savings in 15 minutes or less since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe, and I'm joined by the coach, Coach K, Ken Schulteis. Coach, I'll tell you what, it's nice to have friends like Andy Eichel that you can call on. Get in here at the last second, explain a little bit more about what we were talking about, get answers right away, and I appreciate Andy coming on and spending some time with us.
Yeah, you know, Joe, we've been very fortunate on the show that no matter who we've called on, they've been they've been willing to come on. They've been willing to take time. They've been willing to fit us into the schedule. And who else can we say that about? But the great voice of WBDC Sports, TD27, and anything Southridge Raider, and that would be Kurt Guxell. Kurt, you should be on and ready to go.
Hey, good morning, guys. What's going on?
Hey, you're going on because I'm going to throw a bunch of things at you today, Kurt. We haven't talked to you in a while. We got NFL draft. We got Major League Baseball. We got all kinds of stuff to talk to you about. We got to talk about Southridge Raiders and the Jasper Wildcats playing baseball, and the Raiders overall in the season. But let's start real quickly with last night's NFL draft with you. You know, we comment back and forth on Facebook once in a while. The draft had a 48% increase on TV viewership last night, highest rated draft of all that they've ever had.
Any surprises to you? Did Manziel go about where you thought he would? Did you think the Dallas Cowboys were going to move away from what's right and go with Show and pick Manziel? What were your thoughts overall on last night's draft?
When I saw that the Dallas, he had not been taken when Dallas was up, I would have bet the farm that they would have just taken him just for shock value. And, I mean, that's all we would have heard for the next 2 months, Dallas Cowboys, Johnny Manziel. But they did the right thing. They needed somebody to help them win now with Martin out of Chittard and Notre Dame to protect Tony Romo, who's on his last couple of years. So that surprised me. I thought he might go to the Browns with that earlier pick that they had, but they got a good defensive back, and they were able to get him later on in the first round.
Yeah, you know, it was really interesting how Cleveland was able, and not that Manziel's the best. We know he's not the best player, but he does carry a lot of PR machine with him. In fact, one of our earlier guests said it sounded like John Gruden was working for the PR term with Johnny Manziel. But it was interesting how Cleveland played its cards right, because it was pretty clear that the owner of the Browns wanted him, and he can't hurt the franchise as far as public relations is concerned, although they haven't done very well in their picks the last 10 years. It was interesting how they were able to just come up with the Philadelphia Eagles and pick up and pick him off. So here's a team, a city that has been reeling for a while with the loss of LeBron James a few years ago. If nothing else, Kurt, it makes them relevant in the news. It makes Cleveland Browns relevant in the news for a while.
Well, I think so, and I think he's going to be a good player. I think he's just got that it factor that guys follow him. He's got good skills, and if you can separate that from some of the other stuff going on, and I think that will be separated because guys just get older and wiser and more mature, and if he knows now it's his job to play, I think it's going to be good because they need, like you said, they need some kind of jump start, and basically got their defensive back, and they also got their quarterback.
You're an IU Hoosier fan, as I am. We had the top 30, I think they brought out on stage before the began. Among them is a Hoosier football player, former Hoosier football player, I guess you would call him, Cody Latimer. Were you surprised, one, that he was in that group, two, that he didn't get drafted yet?
Well, I think the NFL thinks a lot of Cody Latimer, the things he can do. He can stretch the field. He's a physical type of receiver. And I just, when you get into that first round, there's two ways you go. You go with best available, or you go to fill a need. And I think later on that teams are fulfilling a need, and I think he'll go here real early because of the fulfill a need factor. And it doesn't surprise me because I know that they thought a lot of him.
What did you think about this first round? Was there somebody that went higher than you thought? Was there somebody left out of that first round? Or did you feel, the picks aren't always going to be exactly where you think they are from 1 through 32. Maybe somebody went 20th and you thought they might have gone 10th. But overall, did it come out the way at least you were seeing it from mock drafts, what you knew about the players?
Oh, I think it did because everybody got what they needed or was able to get, a steal, it seemed like. I mean, Minnesota, they were looking for a quarterback, and they got a guy that they could use in Bridgewater. I mean, Jacksonville was hurting for a quarterback, and while it sounds, Bortles really went up the board with the way he has performed and, ahead of Manziel and ahead of Bridgewater. So I think it all worked out. Now is where you start making your team, second through the seventh round. I mean, there's so many good football players. There's so many different stories out there. There's so many different needs. And a lot of times you don't build your team with that top pick. Oh, it helps, and it makes the TV ratings go up and makes some fans angry if they didn't like who their team picked or whatever. But here is the interesting couple of days, and here's where you get your finds, and here's where you get your players – when you get six or seven guys here in the next couple of days.
Yeah, I would agree with you, and I think teams that are positioned to really do that and they help themselves in the first round. I think St. Louis helped itself in the first round, and I think they can help themselves over the next couple of days. I think Cleveland has a number of picks they can work with. So, yeah, I agree with you, Kurt. I think you make a great point for our listeners. The pomp and circumstance and celebration is all done on the first round. But the teams that really succeed, other than if you get an Andrew Luck, and you still got to put people around him, Manning, you still got to put people around him. Look at Peyton Manning's first year or two. You're right. This is where teams get built for the long haul. And a team like St. Louis, I'll just use them as an example. They picked up a couple good players in the first round. They can pick up a few more. They're young anyway. But now they're young with even more talent on both sides of the ball. And hopefully it's enough to help a guy like Sam Bradford find his way the way they looked at him when they made him a first-round pick in 2010.
Yeah, there's no doubt. You just got to build your team, and the good way to do that is through the draft.
What about the conferences that were represented? I know the SEC had about 11, and three of them were Texas A&M players. Any surprises by the conference's success in the draft first round?
No, not really. You know, the SEC's got a lot of strong players. The Big Ten had a few, and the bulk of that was Ohio State. You had two Louisville guys, of course, the defensive back, and then Bridgewater in the first round. So, you know, it's like any other sport. There's good players all over the place, and those guys in the NFL and NBA, Big League Baseball, they find them.
Speaking of the Big Ten, two news items come out. Big Ten will play against the Big East, I believe, in some basketball challenge games. But probably the bigger news, at least for me, Kurt, it may not bother you at all, but I want to get your comments on it. Jim Delaney decides to move the Big Ten tournament to Washington, D.C. in 2017. I understand Maryland and Rutgers are part of the Big Ten. I don't think they're going to have great impact in the Big Ten. That's just my opinion. And Rutgers, you don't know what crazy PR scandal is going to come out of that place. But having said that, I understand they want to build their brand, large populated area, but it's also a large pro-populated area. I think the Big Ten tournament needed to stay in the Midwest. That's where the bulk of the teams are. That the fan base, even though there's more people out on the East Coast, the people that show up for those games are going to be the Midwest type Big Ten fan. I'm mad. I'm not happy about it. I know what you're going to maybe say. Maybe it makes sense PR-wise long-term, but I still think the Big Ten tournament's going to get that kind of PR anyway.
Yeah, I think it's horrible. It makes no sense at all because, like you said, an Illinois-Wisconsin final at the Verizon Center, that's going to draw nobody. And, you know, it's not like Maryland or Rutgers or Powers that you can pencil them in there for that specific tournament that they're going to be factors. And just a case in point, when they have not had good crowds at Indianapolis or Chicago is when teams like Indiana aren't a factor. I mean, they've taken a bath at Indy when Purdue and Indiana have been factors. Then you take a look at, you know, having it in D.C. where it's going to be hit or miss. It's not like Rutgers is close to D.C. And Maryland, you don't know what's going to happen with how good they're going to be. So I think it may kill that tournament more than help it.
Yeah, I don't even see Maryland fans coming out in bunches in D.C. And I got to tell you this, D.C. is not fan friendly. I know it's the nation's capital, and I know there's all kinds of sights to see, but it's just not a place that the fans can enjoy. When you go to downtown Indy, it's fan friendly. Everything's right there. Chicago, it's a little iffy. But I don't like it, Jim Delaney. I'm telling you right now, I don't like it. I know Tom Diener to the Big Ten. Big Ten.com listens to the show and has been on the show many times and will be again. But I just don't like what Jim Delaney did. It bastardized the tournament, in my opinion. We've sold out to try to create something that's not there. My gosh, if you really want to get the East Coast Jim Delaney, then take it into New York City and hold it at Madison Square Garden. But my God, don't take it to Washington, D.C. So I think Kurt and I are both in agreement. Awful decision. I don't know who is advising you on that. And I think the schools in the Big Ten, the presidents, the athletic directors, they need to push back a little bit on Jim Delaney's decision.
Oh, I agree, okay. No doubt.
Next thing up, before we get to high school baseball and Southridge in general, the Pacers. Kurt, we were breathing a sigh of relief that they were able to figure out how to get it done Hibbertless and passingless against the Atlanta Hawks to move on. Dings did not look good in the first game against the Wizards. Hibbert is revived, at least in game two. The Pacers win. I commented earlier in the show, this could be the worst pro passing team on the perimeter I've seen in a long time this last 6 weeks for the Pacers, almost elementary at times, and yet they were the number one seed. Where do we go with the Pacers? Where are they going on this? Do they make it through this thing or not?
I don't know if they will or not. You mentioned it. They're just a bad passing team. And Lance Stephenson, I mean, he almost killed them the other night just because he couldn't get the ball up. I mean, he's – And then the killing the shot clock, pound the ball into the floor. Can they win this series? Yeah, they can, but it's going to be tough.
Yeah, the quickness of the Wizards bother me on the perimeter because of the way that the Pacers pass the basketball and the decisions they make. But any idea, Kurt, why Hibbert has become Hibbert again?
I think when they said he told Andrew Bynum to hit the road, I think, you know, with his psyche, I think he was playing well. They brought this guy in for some dumb reason, and then after that, he went into a little funk, and the day they released him, he goes and gets 28-9, so not bad, right?
It's amazing. It's amazing that
yeah, you
that
think you're dealing with you think you're dealing with a high school kid or a junior high player, like we're talking. This guy's a pro, and it may be as simple as that.
Yeah, and it may be a junior high level psyche because, you know, even high school kids can figure out why you're preparing someone. It's not to take a person's spot. It's to make the spot stronger overall. But that is a great insight, Kurt. You're probably right. Okay, let's hit high school sports coming up. We've got baseball, Southridge, Jasper, the Raiders. Take it, Kurt. Tell us about the Raiders in baseball.
They're playing pretty well right now. They lost just a couple of games so far on the season, and they lost a tough game to Gibson Southern last night, 2-1. But they didn't give up any earned runs in that game, and. They've just been pitching the ball very well, and they've also had some guys that have come through at the plate, so they're having a nice year.
Is this a team that's built on pitching, or is there more balance?
I think pitching, and they're very athletic. They've got guys that can play in the field behind those pitchers, and I think that's been the key so far to their success.
And when you compare them with, say, the Jasper Wildcats, who get kind of get a little bit of a stride now, playing a little bit better. How do you can compare and contrast the teams?
Well, I think Southridge can compete in a situation with the better teams, like I said, because they can pitch pretty well. Jasper, on the flip side, when they're playing good baseball, they're very good, but it seems like they've become their own worst enemy sometimes and letting games slip away. And Jasper's a very young team that is kind of void of leadership right now. Their top four pitchers are sophomores, and you run, you know, talented but still young sophomores out there. Sometimes, you know, it's going to be a learning situation. But as you said, I think Jasper's hit their stride a little bit, and it'll be interesting to see how this game goes because both those teams are pretty good.
Well, it's always an interesting matchup between the two high schools. The communities are right there together. And the sectional play, which used to be for Jasper at Jasper, it's now it's now League Stadium, correct?
Right. This year it'll be at League Stadium.
Yeah, that's a big change, and I know it wasn't anything that the Jasper Wildcats wanted to hear, but it sounds like it's going to be good baseball all through this spring-summer period. Kurt, great having you on the show. Thanks for your input, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, Coach, thank you very much. Talk to you guys later.
All right, we're going to break. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hey, this is Coach K. Want to get the word out about your business? We'll team up with the Coach K and Joe Show and form a winning marketing team, and we can help put your marketing dollars to work 24 hours a day. Through our live shows and our 24-hour available podcasts, your marketing dollars can work for you around the clock. So give us a call at Milligan Communications, 812-630-2449, and we will help your marketing dollars to score for you.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
It's not the U.S. Postal mailbag. It's not the Joe mailbag. It's the Coach K mailbag.
New York and New Jersey love Coach K. Go Hoosiers!
Coach K speaks the truth! Woo!
Now here's Coach K and Joe with this week's Coach K's mailbag.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and it's time for the Coach K mailbag. Coach, are you ready?
I'm always ready, Joe. I love the questions from our listeners.
Okay, first question. Pacers showed a little life the other night. If they win this series, do they have what it takes to take on the Heat, or would it be a 4-0 series victory by Miami?
Well, I think our last guest just answered that question. If the Pacers continue to pass the basketball the way they do, we'll get eaten up by the Heat. If the Heat go on and the Pacers go on. Now, here's the big if. If Roy Hibbert has truly gotten himself, and he continues to be a contributor, even a force in the game, then all that changes. Because for those of you who watch basketball, like basketball, even if you don't like what Roy Hibbert hasn't done, and you know what I mean by that, hasn't contributed anything. Even if you don't like that, for whatever reason, he didn't do what he needed to do and come through getting paid a lot of money to do. When Roy Hibbert is Roy Hibbert, he changes the game for the other team offensively. Because he is a big space eater, and he can control the basket. So drives to the basket are more difficult. Offensive rebounds are more difficult. Putbacks become more difficult. Everything changes for the other team offensively. And defensively, it changes for them as well. Because if he can get you 10 or 12 points, that's a little more attention that you need to be paying to him, and that gives Paul George, that gives George Hill, Scola, that gives other guys freer looks at the basket. When Hibbert isn't contributing, they can double those guys. They can overplay those guys. They can take a lot of things away, and they can attack the basket more often. And when you attack the basket, it does two things, folks. For you basketball people, it does two things. It does a little more than that, but two main things. One, it creates opportunities at the rim. But what you might not be thinking about, it's not just layups. Creates open shots on the perimeter. And in the NBA, these guys are excellent shooters. So if you're attacking the rim and people have to help down because they don't have anybody to protect the rim, it opens up your deadeye, your marksmen, your shooters on the perimeter. And folks, that makes a big difference in spreading the defense out and getting your shooters in a position to shoot so you can score easier. So, yeah, the Pacers with a good Roy Hibbert can win this thing against the Heat. If Roy Hibbert goes back to the way he's playing, the way he was playing, I don't even know if they can get past the Wizard.
Okay, next question, and this one might be a good question for Tom Dienhardt. And maybe you can give your opinion on this, Coach. I'll sure give my opinion. This was texted in to me. Is Tom Dienhardt really a Purdue fan? He does not act anything like it on the Big Ten Network.
Well, that is a great question for Tom Dienhardt. And Tom Dienhardt is a friend of the show, folks. We like him a lot. He's a professional, first of all, and he has to report how he sees it, in my opinion, for all the teams. And second of all, he is a disgruntled a disgruntled and disappointed Purdue fan right now. And I think when you talk to him or Joe or a number of other Purdue fans, as much as they love the Boilers, they're disgruntled right now. They're disappointed. They're discouraged. And they're like most people. We have a tough time keeping our lips closed on it. We have to let it out. And I've let my feelings out about the Hoosiers at times. I think Tom Crean's a good coach. I think Kevin Wilson's a good coach. But I got to be honest, I'm a fan. And if I was coaching, I wouldn't like it either. If I was a fan of Purdue and was reading it, I wouldn't like it either. But in the end, I think Tom Dienhardt is a Purdue fan. I think he's just a discouraged Purdue fan. And the other side is he's a professional, and he writes for the Big Ten. Those are my thoughts, Joe.
Well,
what about you?
Maybe we need to make a promo. Tom Dienhardt speaks the truth. He doesn't speak with his heart. He's speaking with his head, and I agree with 99.9% of what he says. But I've known Tom for a long time, and I will guarantee you that he is definitely a huge Purdue fan, but he's a professional who can do his job and see objectively when he's doing his job.
Absolutely.
Okay, Coach, next
love
question.
Tom Dienhardt. Okay.
Next question. 10 Big East challenge makes no sense. Will this end the Big Ten ACC challenge?
I don't know. The Big Ten moving the tournament to Washington, D.C. makes no sense. I do think the challenges between these conferences gives the two conferences a lot of publicity when they're going on. Their games are definitely going to be on ESPN, their conference networks. It definitely gives them the upper hand on some of the other conferences because they're playing the interconference challenge, and people are excited to watch that. You know, I'd rather watch IU play somebody in the ACC or the Big East than watch IU play Buffalo. And nothing against Buffalo or Central Missouri or even Central Michigan. I'd rather Tennessee State, Baxter and Williams. I don't even know if there's a Baxter and Williams, but if IU's basketball schedulers can find a Baxter and Williams, they'll play them. So I think they should keep the challenges going.
Okay, next question. Louisville had three people drafted in the first round of the NFL draft. They have become a power in college football. Why can't IU do the same?
Commitment, following I don't know the answer to that. I really don't. Maybe IU is a little bit more stringent in what they will allow as far as students to come in. I don't mean that in any, you know, Louisville's a fine institution, but maybe there's some questions there. I'm going to tell you the other thing, Joe, and listeners. Years ago, before IU started doing what they were doing a few years ago, a guy by the name of Howard Schnellenberger came in and took over Louisville's program. And Howard Schnellenberger understood what it would take to build a top-flight football program college level. Why? Because he'd been at Miami, and he was part of that, Miami University. And he got Louisville to make a commitment, and Louisville has done a great job in the last 25 years of making commitments to basketball, first with Denny Crum, and then with football and Howard Schnellenberger. And, folks, if you go back in history and you look at the contributions that Howard Schnellenberger made at Louisville, you'll understand what I'm talking about. So they've got a couple of decades ahead of what IU was. Howard Schnellenberger, he went out and he raised money. He went out and he got people to put big bucks into that U of L football program. And he set the stage for continuation of that program, even if their hires weren't the best, but most of them were. John L. Smith did a great job. They've had a number of outstanding football coaches who were able to add to the success of the Louisville program, but all those things were put into place foundationally by Howard Schnellenberger. He did, guys. He did. Not only was he an outstanding football coach, but he understood the business of college football and what needed to be done. They were under the radar at the time. Did he maybe push the envelope a little bit? Yes, he did. But they have benefited from it over and over because the football program, as well as the basketball program, has continued to be a focus of the university because the University of Louisville understood this, Joe. Louisville would always be the stepchild to the University of Kentucky, an hour or so down the road in Lexington. They had to find a way to be more than a metropolitan university to the kids in Louisville, and they knew they had to do it by, yes, having great academics, but also by having top-notch sports program to keep them on the front pages and in the national discussion. Howard Schnellenberger did that for Louisville football. Denny Crum did that for basketball, and then bringing Rick Pitino on was phenomenal. They've got a great baseball program now. Corporate sponsorship has been excellent from Papa John Stadium on. Folks, listen. Listen. Louisville's athletic directors, their presidents, they have understood the importance of keeping, of building Louisville, the brand that is Louisville, not only as a university, but building it through a top-tier athletic program. So, Joe, the answer to the question is very simple. Howard Schnellenberger came in when Louisville was nothing, and they said, we want to make a commitment. He made a commitment. They followed through on the commitment. They did. They put all the resources, gave him the open doors to do it. He went out and found the resources, brought him in, built a football program, and they have continued to do that. A couple of missteps in the road, but overall, they've hired great football coaches that have come in, recruited well in that area of the country. You know, they battle with the SEC, but they get players. And I think IU is just in the early stages of that, and I'm not sure where Purdue is.
Well, and, you know, being connected to Louisville somewhat, I can also tell you that, you know, Tom Jurich, their AD, has just built an athletic program that's just been second to none. I mean, they're good in everything. Soccer has been to the championship game of the NCAA. Baseball it's just the whole nine yards, the volleyball program, and very total package when it comes to, you know, what the program, you know, what it's done. So
yeah,
Joe,
I agree with you, and I certainly don't want to slight him. He is, without a doubt, one of the top five ADs in the country.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Okay, next question. I'll let you handle this one. Coach K, why don't you ever talk about soccer on the Coach K and Joe show?
Well, we do talk about soccer occasionally. We had Jasper's coach Kyle Kendall on before. Who knows? Maybe Kyle's even asking this question. Honestly, I am not well-versed in soccer. I am learning a little bit more about it as we go. I have three kids. The youngest is 13. Other than the early years of soccer, like little bitty 4 or 5 year old kids, they had no interest in continuing in soccer, so I haven't been around it a lot. But yeah, Beckham, I know that guy. Pele, I know that guy. I know those were years ago. But soccer is an emerging sport, without a doubt. Some would say it's not emerging. It's top-notch. It's still got a ways to go in this country. But I've said it before when I talk about declines and upticks. Generationally, there is a number of young men and young women who play soccer. And the next 10 years, we'll see that even bigger as we go forward. Joe, we're about 3 minutes till the end of the live part of the show, and I'm going to turn it back to you because we want to make sure that we're able to thank our guests and our sponsors before we leave the air. So take it on, Joe.
Okay, I'd like to thank our sponsors, Dr. Harmon and Idea Fusion Media, Ubelar & Sons. And, Coach, give me a quick plug for Janet Schulteis. You never mentioned her today.
Well, the market's on fire. And it'll have a drop back every day, but if you're not working with a financial advisor, you're missing the boat, folks. The facts are clear. You need a financial advisor. I'm telling you, call Janet Schulteis, financial advisor with Edward Jones. Talk to her assistant, Beth Geltz. They'll get you set up. You just got to give them a call. Go to our website. You'll see their number, the contact information. Or start right now on your phone, 812-479-8215, doesn't matter where you're at in the country. Edward Jones has a plan that's going to prosper you, perpetuate you, and make you happy about your finances. There you go, Joe.
Okay, that's a nice plug for Jan Schulteis. I would highly recommend you call her. She's ever since the fourth grade, she's always been one of the smartest people I know. So call Janet today. People, as I always end the show, there's baseball, there's track, there's all kinds of high school sporting events that you can go and be entertained with your family, and then for a very cheap price. And I strongly recommend you go out and do that. Go to the Tindles of games. And for Coach K, I'm Joe, with telling you that if you want to listen to the after show, you're more than welcome to. It'll be on podcast probably by 12:30. So for Coach K, I'm Joe. See you next week on the Coach K and Joe Show.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Ubelar & Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. See you next week.